Turn your Bibles, Acts 1, when he said, wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Don't leave. Stay here until the Holy Ghost arrives, because he's going to be endued with power. But the second half of that verse we didn't spend a lot of time on, we didn't really fully understand, is that you might be my witnesses of what you've seen and hear. And of course, the Lord Jesus was standing in front of them when he said that to them. In fact, he had already spoke to them. He was establishing what Acts would call the many infallible proofs. And we've spoken about this in detail. But when he appeared to them, first thing he did, they thought they were seeing a spirit or a ghost or a vision. And he said, listen, come touch me. Touch me. You're not seeing a ghost. It is me. I've been raised from the dead. And he was establishing their testimony by appearing before them in an eyewitness state. And then he said, have you anything to eat? And he ate with them. They're talking with him. And he opens the books to them. And he begins to open the book of Moses, the Psalms and the prophets. And so we see there was a blueprint, and we can show you this over and over again in the book of Acts. There was a threefold cord or a threefold blueprint that the Lord released into the early church. That the first thing he did upon his resurrection, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, not just to the apostles, everybody around them. In fact, 500, say 500. Now, we know God's going to do it again, because the book of Revelation is very clear that he appears before 144,000. So he's going to up that 12,000 from 12 tribes. He appeared before them, and he actually ordains them on a mountain and releases them into the final 3.5 years of the tribulation. There's a very powerful thing that happens when God releases the eyewitness, because it was a major foundation of their testimony to have seen the Lord. With great power gave he the disciples witness or eyewitness of the resurrection. And so he gives them the eyewitness, he gives them his word, and then he says, wait for the Holy Ghost. Those three components is what he released and launched the entire early church with. And so God is actively restoring all the components necessary for true apostolic power. God's going to change the way the anointing is delivered in the last days. And I see he's going to deliver it by testimony. The Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I'm not talking about just your testimony. I'm talking about apostolic testimony. God's going to change the way that anointing's delivered to the world, because the apostles is going to have the eyewitness reestablished in the earth, and they're going to give testimony again. An eyewitness testimony. I tell you, the Holy Ghost anoints that differently. He will anoint your witness. You go out, he anoints the witness of his people. But there is an anointing and a glory and a power. In fact, he said it's a great grace where God anoints the eyewitness testimony. And the word is the second testimony. And the Holy Ghost is the third. Glory to God. Now, because we know he's restoring everything in reverse. Amen. What did he restore? In the early 1900s, the Holy Spirit was restored. He was always available, but the fullness of that baptism was restored. And God's restoring, he restored the office of a teacher in the charismatic movement, the prophets, 80s, 90s, and now he's actively fully restoring the apostolic office. And with that, every grace that belongs to the apostolic office is going to be restored alongside it. And the eyewitness is a grace that accompanies the office of an apostle. Amen. And so I'm going to take you back to Acts chapter 1, if you'll go there real quick. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, he says, to whom also he showed himself alive, speaking of the apostles, after his passion by many infallible proofs. Say many infallible proofs. Why did he do that? He was establishing their testimony. They were about to be released upon the human race. And their testimony that was Christ has been raised from the dead. We don't only bring the testimony of his word, we bring eyewitness testimony. And that's what the Holy Spirit was backing. The testimony of the word that they were giving and the eyewitness testimony under an apostolic grace. And the Holy Spirit released power. We're going to see that again. That kind of power that he exploded upon the New Testament church. And he said, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he tells them to wait on the promise. Behold, you receive power. Look at this verse 8. After the Holy Ghost. There's a reason why I'm telling you this, because I'm going to take you into one of the Old Testament examples that was foreshadowing all of this. That's what I'm kind of reviewing too. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that you shall be my witnesses. You know what a witness is? A witness will have to have seen something to witness. You cannot be a witness if you haven't seen something. That's why when you give your testimony, you're a witness of your testimony. They were giving witness of his resurrection. You cannot give true witness of his resurrection if you hadn't seen it. Now you can give your faith testimony and the Holy Ghost will anoint that. We've seen this and heard about it even in the night. But under an apostolic government, there's going to be true eyewitness. And the Holy Ghost is going to confirm that this is what we're looking for. We want the confirmation of heaven. It's the way the Holy Ghost is going to build his church. I'm telling you, when all this gets fully restored and this blueprint gets laid, I'm telling you the Holy Ghost is going to do more in 1 year than we've done in the last 40, 50, 60 years as the church. I mean, he's going to explode upon the human race. Glory to God forever. When he's spoken these things, verse 9, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven and went up, behold, two men, angels, stood by them in white apparel and said, why, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus taken up from you is also going to return in like manner. But they watched him go up. Now, there wasn't just 12 there. There was a lot of people there watched him go up. Lots of people. It was a key component of their anointing to have seen him. Now watch this. I'm going to share this and then I'm going to take you over real quick. Something really wonderful. Hallelujah. Now, because Judas had fell, they're going to reinstate a 12th apostle. Now they're going to choose. Now watch what happens here. Verse 16. Say, men and brethren. Men and brethren. This scripture must need be fulfilled by the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David. Spake before concerning Judas, which was the God of them that took Jesus. He was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now he fell, and Peter, he rehearses that he fell, and he actually quotes from the book of Psalms that let his habitation be desolate. Now, look at verse 21. Wherefore of these men, look at this, wherefore of these men, he's not talking about the 12 apostles, which have accompanied with us all the time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, one must be ordained to be a witness. Do you see that? He must be ordained to be a witness. A witness with us of his resurrection. He says, choose out from these men. Obviously, there's a whole lot more than these 12 running around with the Lord. They choose two out of a pool of men. I believe he chose them out of the pool of the 70 disciples. And he chooses two out of those 70. Because they were all there with him in the upper room. And he chooses two. He said, one must be ordained to bear witness of his resurrection. That was his qualification. That was it. He has had to see the Lord. He had to have been with us from the baptism of John to the day he was taken up. He had to have seen him taken up. They had to see that. He would not have been an apostle had he not seen it. They appointed two. They pulled out of a pool of men. It wasn't the original 11. There was another pool, and he pulled two out of a pool of men. The lot fell upon Matthias, however you want to call his name. Verse 45, he says, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship. The ministry and apostleship was what? Look at verse 22 again. Read it. Meditate upon it. Watch it. Beginning from the baptism of John until the same day he was taken up from us, one must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. He had to have seen the Lord taken up. That was his ministry. That was his apostleship. That was the message of the apostles, to bear the testimony of his resurrection. And it's going to be the message again. in the last days, and the Holy Ghost gonna anoint it again. He has not lost his touch. When the blueprint gets right and everything gets established, the eyewitness, the word of the resurrection and right hand of God, which Peter preached, which Paul preached, which the entire book of Acts is full of, and the Holy Ghost. When that blueprint gets right, watch what happens. Verse 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship. He may take part of his, what was the ministry? To bear witness of his resurrection. That was their ministry. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, he's going to do it all over again. We're going to see 3,000 people added at one time. 5,000 people added at one time. Born again in a supernatural way. That wasn't even, they didn't even have that service. It was spontaneous. Spontaneous outbreak of God, confirming the testimony. They paid partake of this ministry and apostleship, which by Judas' transgression fell, that he might be in his own place, and they gave their lots to Matthias, numbered with 11. Now let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2. Now we're going to understand a little bit about what happened here. This is a foreshadowing event. Everything that happened in the Old Testament was foreshadowing the new. Hey, listen, God wasn't just appearing in the New Testament. He was appearing in the Old Testament. We're marching through the Old Testament. We're going to look at Elijah and Elisha just for a minute tonight. 2 Kings chapter 2. Now watch this. Verse 9. And it came to pass. That's some of your trouble. It came to pass. Some of you in trouble. It came to pass. It came to pass when they were gone over. Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Now, Elisha is a type of Christ, and Elisha is a type of apostle or followers of the Lord, disciple. Elisha was in a, he was in a position of discipleship before Elijah. Now, he followed him. You know the story. He followed Elijah, tried to shake him, and he wouldn't be shaken. He said, you stay here. He goes, I'm not going. I'm going with you. Every city he went to, he stay here, abide. Elijah kept trying to see if he could shake him, and Elijah would not be shaken. And then he passed over the river Jordan. Now Elijah saying, and Elijah knew it was his time. He's asked Elisha, ask what you want. God ever tells you to ask what you want? Ask. When he asked Solomon, look what happened to Solomon when he asked Solomon. Thank God Solomon asked for the right thing. You know what we did for the first 5 years of our ministry and 5 years preceding our ministry? Asked for wisdom, confessed wisdom every single day, constantly. Had a book on framing your world that was all about the seven pillars of wisdom, confessional man. That's all we ever did. It's all we ever preached. Because wisdom is going to get you there. Because wisdom is going to deliver the keys. If the kingdom's not working, it's not because God's just waiting on some special time, but the kingdom's not working because the keys have to be established. There are certain blueprint prototype things that God has, and when we get all that key and we get that blueprint right, God is going to come down. Amen? And the kingdom's going to release. Glory to God. He said, that's what I would do thee, verse 9, before I take it away. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. That's a lot! Elijah was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. Elijah said, I want double. Double what you got. Even Elijah acknowledged, verse 10. He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Even from me you've asked a hard thing. And Elijah could raise the dead, multiply oil, call fire down. He said, you ask a hard thing. Listen, just because you ask a hard thing from God doesn't mean he's denying. We're asking for revival. We want what the early church had. What the same power they had. Same glory they had. He said, listen, you're asking a hard thing. But God. Just because you're asking a hard thing doesn't mean you're going to be denied. And he said, verse 10, nevertheless, watch this, if You see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. If you can see me in my resurrection, you can have my mantle. That was a foreshadowing event of Acts chapter 1 right there. You can see me. Paul saw him four different times in his resurrection. It was part of the makeup of the apostolic mantle. Paul said, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? Part of the makeup that governs that apostolic office. See, if you can see me, Elisha, you can have it. I mean, why would he say something like that? If you can see me in the resurrection, see, that was foreshadowing the New Testament. Even back in the old, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Solomon, Isaiah, all of these men saw the Lord in the way he appeared to them in bodily form, talked with them, spoke with them. Appeared the mode. The Bible says it wasn't the burning bush. It said he appeared to him in the burning bush. Moses couldn't even look upon him. So it was foreshadowing. Elijah was foreshadowing the New Testament eyewitness and as a type of Christ. He said, if you can see me, you can have this mantle. Because it was a secret of them operating under the mantle of the Lord Jesus. They saw him in his resurrection. But if not, it shall not be so. You can have your own anointing, or you can have a double portion of mine. That gets me stirred up. You know what the Lord said to me the other day? He said, you know the eyewitness is not a promise. He said the Holy Ghost was a promise. Eyewitness is not a promise. I said, I understand that. He said, but it is a grace. And because you can identify, it is a grace that accompanied the apostolic office. You can receive it as a grace. Because there's an operation of grace that accompanied the apostolic office. So we just identified the apostolic grace. When we first started preaching this, I was afraid of it. I said, Lord, nobody I know preaches this. He said, this doctrine doesn't come from man. It comes from me. And I said, well, Lord, you really need to open it up in a strong way. And I mean, he just opened it one thing after another, and we preached it. And then just about a month ago, he opened the Old Testament. And now we have the whole counsel of the Word of God concerned that when God gets ready to do something, he grants the eyewitness. In verse 11, it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire. They got horses in heaven. Chariots, horses of fire comes down. God, I'd like to see that. Parted them both asunder. Got right up in the middle of them. How'd you like to go out like that? What kind of walk did Elijah have that God would send a chariot down with the horses of fire to pick him up? Wow. And Elijah went up with a whirlwind to heaven. Elijah saw it. Elijah saw it. He cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horseman, I see you in your resurrection. He saw him no more. He took his clothes and rent them in two pieces as that mantle fell. He took that mantle of Elijah, grabbed that mantle, went back, stood at the bank, Jordan. See, here's the test. Here's the test of any mantle. The demonstration's going to be there. You cannot go to the world with word only. It's not going to ever convince the nations. Well, you can't teach the world into God. You want a mass harvest into God, you're going to have to be able to smite the water and the waters part. That's how you know you got it. He took that mantle and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he smote the waters. Bam! And they parted. He had it. That's the key. There's the Holy Ghost going to get on us in demonstration. He had the eyewitness established. He caught the double portion of Elijah's mantle. Whoa! Hallelujah. Somebody give God glory. That's the key. Didn't send Moses without demonstration. Didn't send the Lord Jesus without demonstration. Didn't send the apostles without demonstration. Didn't send the apostle Paul without demonstration. Didn't send Elijah without demonstration. He's not going to send his last day church without demonstration. There's going to be demonstration. And the eyewitness is a master key for demonstration. And it will be fulfilled. I don't care how many devils don't like it. It's going to happen. Too far into it. Hallelujah. We were trying to build a natural church. We can do natural things, get a bunch of people in here. All I want is the Holy Ghost. I want that mantle. I want to see Him who's taken up from among us. And when we get the eyewitness sealed with the word of the resurrection, right hand of God, the two witnesses, Holy Ghost is going to add Himself. And that's how He's going to build. And He's going to explode upon this city. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Prophets on the other side didn't go over the Jordan, didn't see it. They didn't get the mantle. They looked from afar and they said, oh my, the mantle of Elijah is on Elisha. Once the mantle's on you, you don't have to convince people. The mantle will convince them. That's the glorious part of the Holy Ghost demonstration. Once you get it, you don't have to convince anybody anymore. He's going to be the convincer. Amen. Father, thank you for your word tonight. We are thankful for what you have given us. Father, we stand boldly with it. It may offend some, it may offend many, but it is going to release the demonstration necessary for your kingdom to multiply in the face of the earth. We thank you for what you've given us. We thank you. We enter into this season. We're expectant, Lord. We have expectancy to have our witness sealed.